This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Hello, listener. Thank you for tuning into this podcast where I bring to your ears inspiring conversations with some of the best artists, singers, composers, lyricists. Every week I talk to a musical genius to find out their creative discipline. I am Eva Bhatt and you are listening to 9XM Soundcast from India's leading music channel 9XM. Do subscribe to this podcast on Epilogue Media, your one stop for engaging and entertaining podcasts. While I know Bollywood and indie music is what appeals to a huge audience, including me of course, I feel it becomes essential to have musicians from different backgrounds and genres on a podcast like 9XM Soundcast that has reached great heights since its launch, thanks to avid listeners and music lovers like you. And so when I get that rare opportunity of having someone like Karsh Kale or Ricky Cage on this podcast, I feel extremely fortunate. We have a Grammy Award winner, US Billboard number 1 artist, GQ Hero 2020, UNESCO Global Ambassador for Kindness, UN Global Humanitarian Artist awardee. Let's find out more about him and his musical contribution in creating awareness for our environment. Ricky Cage, thank you so much for connecting with us all the way from Bengaluru.
Not at all, Eva. I'm so happy that we get to speak today. I've been a fan of 9XM because it's the channel which I can go to and just like, you know, listen to music. And I'm very, very happy to be a part of this this podcast, and also seeing that you've had some amazing people, before me, and I'm sure you'll have amazing people after me too. So it's amazing to be one among, these great people. And so thank you for having me.
So Ricky Cage, your album Divine Tides is out now, and, we'll be talking a lot in detail about, the making of this beautiful album. But before that, our listeners and viewers would be really intrigued to know a lot about you, your roots, your Indian roots and your upbringing, your childhood. If you could, tell us, yourself.
So I've always been a musician ever since I remember. Even while I was not playing a musical instrument, I was always obsessed with music. And I remember when I was a child, while my classmates were very fascinated by television and by cartoons and, and things like that, I was obsessed with my music system. And, my music system was the center of my universe. And I would constantly listen to music all day long, try to understand who the different musicians are in every song and, and things like that. So I've always been a musician. I've always been somebody who has been an environmentalist even before I knew what it meant to be an environmentalist. I used to always love nature. I used to always love animals, and I used to always think of animals as being our brothers and sisters. So that's how I've grown up, with music and with nature.
Beautiful. I think this combination, this culmination of, music and nature and environment, which is so beautiful. And the way you have utilized music to its, best purpose, the purpose that your music serves is something incredible. So tell me about, the musical upbringing and the training that you received, Ricky.
So initially, when I started off into music, playing in bands and playing in college and things like that, I was a self-taught musician and I was quite successful at that time itself. But then when I got into college, and actually I went to college, I went to dental college actually, because my father is a third generation doctor and he did not believe that music could actually be a profession. So after a lot of fighting with my parents, I reached a compromise with my parents that I would finish off a degree in dental surgery. And once I get that degree, my life is my own and they would not question me ever. So that's exactly what I did. Went to 5 years of college, dental college. So while I was in college, I'd already made up my mind that music is going to be my career and I'm not going to be a dentist. I'm going to be a musician. So in the evenings, I would go to classes. I studied Hindustani classical music and I studied Western classical music. Wow. Because I felt that if this is going to be my profession, I needed to have some sort of professional knowledge on this, on music, even though I was already doing music professionally on the side. And also, you know, if you have an education in music, it becomes easier for you to interact with other musicians. You get the confidence to interact with them, and you can speak the language that they speak, you know, of notations and things like that. So that's the reason why, to overcome what I perceived as maybe it's going to be a handicap later on in my life, I decided to take a formal education in music during my dental college.
Wow, that's just so interesting. And I'm sure, you know, some of our listeners might be able to kind of relate with, you know, your yes. story of struggle and that fight with, you know, parents, you know, for choosing
any
your
artist,
career.
That's right. Any artist who's got Indian parents will identify with this.
so funny and lovely, amazing. And what about the artists? What about the artists that always, you know, who always influenced and inspired you?
So one artist who has absolutely inspired my life's journey has been Pandit Ravi Shankar. Pandit Ravi Shankar, simply because one of the greatest, in fact, the greatest musician that India has ever had, in my opinion. And also, he made Indian music popular all over the world. He traveled all over the world. He played whatever he knew how to play, like, you know, the Indian classical music. And he made the instrument of the sitar, like, pretty much mainstream everywhere. And he also, if you look at it, he's one of the very, very few musicians during his time who actually broke cultural barriers.
Yes.
Like if you look at, for example, Bollywood music is played everywhere in the world. But when you go to a concert, like a Bollywood concert in, let's say, America, the audience is mainly the Indian diaspora, which you see in the audience.
Right.
And it's the same with any part of the world. It's the Indian diaspora who actually go for the film-based concerts. Whereas I've seen so many of Pandit Ravi Shankar's concerts in America. And the thing is that the audience is extremely eclectic, and you'll hardly see any Indian people in the audience. In fact, the number of people in the audience who are Indian is reflective of the demographic of that particular area, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's so he really broke cultural barriers, and he made the sitar popular among people who would normally not had the opportunity to listen to the sitar.
Wow, like his music, like he brought Indian classical music, he gave Indian classical music its, you know, international appeal and reach.
Exactly.
And wow, that's such a huge contribution, and, you know, we'll be forever indebted for that. So, wow, amazing. We had Karsh Kale just, you know, last week on the podcast. So, you know, obviously,
he was
also talking about Pandit Ravi Shankar, and
he's amazing. Karsh Kale is a super talented guy. And he's one of those musicians who, even though he was born and brought up in Brooklyn, like, you know, the thing about him is that he stayed so true to his Indian roots. And, you know, and he's taking Indian culture to audiences who would normally not be exposed to Indian cultural music.
Right. But Ricky Cage, you know, looking at your career and your work, it's phenomenal to even understand how were you able to take your music to such an international audience in such a way. You know, you have performed at some of the most prestigious venues, but for a greater purpose. So tell us, how did all that happen?
So as I mentioned, I've always been an environmentalist all my life. And, you know, and a few years ago, I'd decided that, you know, that every piece of music that I create is going to be a reflection of what I believe. It's going to be an extension of my philosophies, my beliefs, my thoughts, and things that I feel strongly about. And since I feel strongly about the environment, that's why most of my music now reflects that. So I've been very fortunate to work with some amazing international organizations because I felt that my music needed to have the desired impact. Because if I'm talking right. about raising awareness on environmental issues, then I actually have to have the desired impact of, like, you know, of solving issues and, you know, and changing mindsets. So I've always believed that with all the problems that we face on our planet, especially with climate change, with species extinction, with deforestation and things like that, the biggest threat to us is the constant thought we have that somebody else will make a difference. You know, we're waiting for governments to make a difference. We're waiting for intergovernmental bodies, for not-for-profits to make a difference.
When Absolutely.
The truth is that we ourselves need to change, and we need to change our own behavior. And I believe music can music can be that amazing catalyst to change mindsets, because you can emotionally speak to people through song and music. And that is why I've been fortunate to work with organizations like the United Nations to help them further their mission. So I take the narratives from the United Nations and and the various organizations I'm an ambassador with. And then what I do is that I translate those ideas and those thoughts through the emotional language of music.
Oh my God, this is brilliant. And, when we say that music inspires, the tagline of our podcast, 2 years ago when we launched our podcast, we had, kept this tagline that, music inspires.
Very nice.
But never, never have I ever really thought, so deeply. And today I must confess that I think now that we are talking to you, we realize that this is what you call, music inspires, how music really inspires and makes a difference. It's not just about, the feel good factor, of music,
which is also important,
but, music, how music can really make a difference and how powerful music is. And that's where I feel that, it surely matches with our show's purpose also, is to inspire aspiring artists and through stories of accomplished musicians like you. So that's just really we are in sheer luck that we are having you right now on our show.
No, but actually, to add to what you said, because whatever you said was amazing, and to add to that, just music for entertainment also, I've realized is very good, because, wow. I was recently watching that Friends, reunion episode, which
yes.
happened. So, and of course, I like everybody in our generation, huge
yes.
Friends fan. So I love that episode and I almost started crying in certain places. But the thing is that over there, one thing which I really respected about Friends was that Friends never tried to be preachy, and they were just entertainment, mindless entertainment at times. But in that episode, you saw all these people from around the world who, who were inspired by Friends and who felt that, that these people, these characters are my friends, and, and they help them come out of depression. They help them, live their lives in a peaceful
thing,
way and all of that stuff. What a lovely thing. And then I started realizing the power of entertainment, that sometimes, even if it is entertainment for entertainment's sake, it can have a profound effect on people. So it's not necessary that you have to follow a cause, but you can just entertain people and you can bring a smile on people's faces.
Oh my God, you just really said something so practically, practical and true. Wow, lovely. So let's now, hear something from you, Ricky. If I could kind of request you to, play something for us right now. You are in your lovely den. If there's some magic that you can create for us. On the podcast?
Actually, since I don't, unfortunately, I'm a terrible, terrible singer. So that's why I won't be able to sing or perform for you, because the few fans that I have, they will immediately run away. So it's going to be quite detrimental to my career if I do that. And also, my concerts, actually, I get some really good singers to sing for me at my concerts, because I rely on very good professional singers. But yeah, I mean that people can just probably go to my website and listen to my music. That is rickycage.com.
Absolutely. And, your latest album that you are, releasing along with, multiple times award, Grammy Award winner, Stewart Copeland. So tell me about, your collaboration with such a great musician.
So I've idolized Stewart Copeland my whole life. He was the founder and drummer of the band The Police, which had Sting in it. And the thing is that The Police had performed, the only time The Police performed in India was in 1981, which is the year I was born. So you can imagine what a veteran he is.
We share the birth year.
Oh, really?
So we better not talk about it. Oh my God, that's funny.
That's amazing. So, Stewart Copeland, in fact, one of the first few times that I had spoken to him, he told me that, You know, we had performed in India in 1981. So then I'm like, you know, Stuart, that was the year I was born, you know. And so I could obviously not attend your concert. And so anyway, so I've always been a fan of his. And, you know, even beyond The Police and beyond his 5 Grammy Awards, you know, he's been quite a veteran musician, you know, writing music for orchestras, for operas, and wow. Also he's composed music for over 40 Hollywood movies, including Wall Street, Oscar-winning movies he's composed for. So for me, it was an absolute dream come true to actually do an album with this person who I idolized my whole life. And he brought so much on the table. And for me, it was almost like a masterclass, you know, actually collaborating with him, because I would send him ideas of tunes and all of that stuff. Then he would make changes to them. He would suggest more tune ideas, and he would, you know, so basically we created this album like from the ground up completely together. And we produced the album together, and, you know, and he played so many percussion instruments that normally he's not associated with, because you, wow, when you think of Stuart Copeland, you just think of him playing drums in a rock band, you know.
Yeah.
And but he's played these Chinese bells, crotales, tongue drum, and you know, and all these various musical instruments and these percussion instruments from all over the world. So it was really, really amazing to actually work with him on this project.
Wow, amazing. Like, you know, it's just amazing if you you know, if you talk about the process of, you know, creating something, you know, as beautiful as this, and the way you collaborated with him, and the way you have collaborated with other, you know, musicians earlier, the process must be so magical. You know, I'm now reminded again of something what Karsh, you know, Kale spoke about, of, you know, tabla being, like tabla being as a language, you know, for Karsh, exactly. Kale is tabla is a language. So he was talking about how music is a language. So I think this perfectly, you know, makes sense when you speak, when you are telling me about, you know, how through your music you are communicating, you know, through your music with somebody like Stuart Copeland, and how, you know, two cultures or two different kinds of music really meet.
No, true, because I love collaborations always, you know, and there are two aspects of collaborations that I've always followed in my career. So one is, of course, that, you know, the technology when it comes to computers, creating music on computers is really, really good nowadays. So any instrument, whether it's an orchestra, or, you know, if it's a tabla, or if it's a flute, if it's a violin, you know, you can actually do everything with technology on the computer. But even then, I prefer real musicians, not because of the sound of the instrument, because the sound of the instrument, I can get it from the computer. But the reason why I want them is that I want their head to join me in the process. Because if I do everything myself, then I cannot surprise myself with the quality of music I create. But if I bring in, like, let's say a flute player, you know, into my composition, then, you know, then that flute player brings his or her own life experiences, his or her, you know, music education, ideas, thoughts. And that particular musician must have played with musicians all around the world, and all those ideas and those thoughts come into my music. So it's about bringing another individual and another brain into your composition, and it takes it to a whole new level. And the second thing is actually a secret that I collaborate with a lot of musicians. In fact, I did an album with 500 musicians, an album called Shanti Samsara in 2016.
Yes.
But I only collaborate with musicians who are better than me. So if you look at all my credits of every single album of mine, and this is my 21st album, if you look at every single credit of every album of mine, every single musician that you will see in the credits is actually a musician who's better than me, because that's the only way I can grow, you know. So get people who are better than me, collaborate with them, learn from them, and then move on, you know. So that's the idea.
Wow. Collaborate with them and learn, you know, from them. Let's also, you know about, you know, the learnings that you have had, you know, from your various associations with different musicians. Any such, you know, incident that you could share with us, or any such, you know, lesson that you could share with us, you know, while collaborating with people or while just performing, you know, at various concerts.
Yes, I've had a lot of experiences learning. Of course, the most obvious thing is learning music itself from, you know, all these various musicians. Like, for example, when I work with, you know, conductors and orchestrators, you know, of various orchestras around the world, and I work with a lot of orchestras, So you get to learn a lot about discipline. You get to learn a lot about music and things like that. But when it comes to Stuart Copeland, because Stuart Copeland was, in fact, the senior most musician that I've ever collaborated with at this level. Because normally I've collaborated with a lot of senior musicians, but they've always been on one song or, you know, one instrument or something like that. But collaborating on a whole album with him. Now, there were many times when I'm really happy with something, you know, like, and not just the music, like, let's say the album cover itself of this particular album, I had a completely different name for the album. And I was very happy with that name.
Right.
And I told Stuart about that name. And Stuart said that, no, let's try and do something better, because he felt, I'm not going to tell you what the name of the album was, but the thing is that it was a very obvious name, you know, for this kind of music. So Stuart said, no, we need to make it more artistic. We need to have a name of an album which is open to more interpretation. And then that is when, you know, Stuart came back and he said that, like, you know, why not Divine Tides? What do you think about that title? And I said that, yeah, I love the word divine, but what about tides? So he was explaining that the whole world is changing right now, and the world has got a very cyclical nature, even when it comes to music. You know, that's things that were very popular in the 80s are becoming back popular right now. And,
right.
You know, and things are going around, and it's the same thing with humanity. It's the same thing with our thoughts, with our ideas and things like that. So he said that just like the moving tides, which keep going in cycles, I think that's exactly what our music is representing. And then I thought a lot about it, and I really, really love the title. And now I'm absolutely in love with the title, and I cannot even imagine that I was going to be calling it what I wanted to call it earlier. So what I learned from Stuart is that you have to trust people who are, trust people's imagination who have got far more experience than you, you know? So that is what, because I'm lucky that I do that already, but nevertheless, Stuart reaffirmed that, you know, because I absolutely have implicit trust in his sensibilities.
Wow. And that's just so amazing and inspiring. You know, you have already achieved a lot in life, but still, you know, you are very open to learning and, you know, accepting things, you know, from your mentors or from senior artists or even from, you know, artists younger.
Contemporaries,
I'm sure that, you know, your open attitude, your openness to, you know, learn and imbibe is something which is really inspiring.
Thank you so much. Yeah, because you have to constantly, I mean, I know it's a cliche to say this, but you have to constantly be a learner at the end of the day, because the minute you say that you know everything, that is where your downfall actually starts, you know.
Absolutely. And talking more about, you know, Divine Tides, you know, the soundscape of this album, you know, the purpose of this album and the songs, you know, the music of this album really, you know, serves a very, very, you know, huge purpose now more so with the pandemic and with the concerns of, you know, the environment and the, you know, the climate change and all these issues are now, you know, of, you know, the biggest concern to humankind. So tell me about, you know, how do you feel that, you know, this particular album will really serve the purpose of, you know, bringing out that message, you know, very strongly to the audience of, you know, taking care of your environment.
So the music has been inspired by all these themes that you just mentioned.
Right.
And we also have 8 music videos, and each music video is basically about something else. And, you know, and it's sort of like we are not trying to be preachy through this album. We are not telling people what to do. We are just, you know, sending out an emotion, and, you know, and how people interpret it, how people react to it is completely up to them.
Right.
Because I've never believed in actually, you know, being preachy. I always try to, you know, show people by example. I try to live the life of sustainability. I try to, everything that I do, I try to do in a very sustainable way. And I try to, you know, lead in my own small way through example. So that's what, I guess that the music videos in this album, combined with the music, I think have got a very strong story to tell in this album about conservation and about traditions and about, you know, about protecting nature and being one among nature. And we've got a song which even, you know, talks about that we are just one species among millions and millions of species on this planet. You know, we're not the only species on this planet, because somehow we've forgotten that, you know, that we are just one among millions and millions of species on this planet. So that's what this album is. This album just gives a subliminal message, and it gives an emotion that, you know, that this planet is important, and you know, and it's important that we have to maintain the delicate balance of the ecosystems, you know. So every single life form on this planet is important, and not just humans.
Wow, incredible. I think, it's just amazing that, you have released this album at the right time when, the world needs to, consume something which is going to bring, value to our lives. An album like Divine Tides is bringing such a beautiful and a much needed message. Is yeah. there any creative discipline of Ricky Cage, from which we, aspire artists can really take inspiration from?
First, I had a question for you actually. Like after the movie WALL-E released, did you have a lot of problems because of your name?
So I remember during a flight that I had taken right after my marriage, I remember that I was watching this movie in the flight, along with my husband, WALL-E, and it was so funny. So there are people who still, call me Eva. Oh God!
So yes, so about the discipline aspect of it, I would not recommend anybody do what I do in my life. But the thing is that, so for me, I'm constantly working multiple time zones, and this was all the way since I was about 19 or 20 years old. Because during the time when I used to do commercial jingles for about 13 years, I did that. I used to be working, so I used to wake up in the morning at about like 7:38, and about 9 o'clock. A client from India would give me a brief on a jingle, and I would finish off that jingle, wrap it up by about 4 or 5 o'clock. And then I would get a call from a client in, let's say, France. And then that would be the next one till about 2 o'clock. And then at about 2 o'clock, I would get a call from USA, and then I would carry on with that. So I would barely sleep. And it's the same thing right now, especially with the pandemic. What's happening is that a lot of people want to invite me to give keynote speeches and, talk at their various events. And previously they used to fly me down to, right. All these various countries, and I used to do, I used to attend these events and, speak at these events. But now, the whole world has become your playground. So it's like I'm doing this about I'm doing about 10 or 11 engagements a day. So I'm hardly sleeping. But hard work is extremely important nevertheless. But at the same time, one has to take care of your health, which I will start doing now.
Brilliantly said. And we also need to talk about, Wild Karnataka. I mean, brilliant. Okay. Wow. India's first blue chip documentary film. And, you gave the music in it. And, David Attenborough had narrated it. It's such a, big achievement. So tell me about, your experience of working on that project.
No, it was an absolute. It was another dream come true, because being an environmentalist and also pledging to make music only on the environment and sustainability, this was such an amazing opportunity, because it was exactly what I wanted to do, and to actually collaborate with Sir David Attenborough and get him to speak on top of my music in the film. It was amazing. So it was just amazing. So that is what. And this particular film, I worked so hard on it, because normally when it comes to these natural history documentaries where you see pristine wildlife and animals and all of that stuff, you don't see any humans in the film. In these kind of films, what happens is that when you see a shot of, let's say, a tiger or an elephant, it could be from any country, so how do we remind audiences that this is in India? You obviously can't show humans because it's a natural history documentary. You can't show a signboard saying that this is whatever place. So the only way you can do it is through music, I believe. So, and normally in these documentaries, you just have generic orchestral music, like film score kind of music. So I also used orchestral music, but I layered it with a lot of Indian sounds and Indian music, so that anybody in the audience, when they watch the movie, they will call and they see an elephant, they'll immediately know that, this elephant is an Indian, this tiger is an Indian. So I did that through the music, constantly reminding everybody that all of these animals that you see on screen are from India.
Yeah, lovely. Wow, what a lovely insight. And thank you so much. Thank you for, not just, being on our show, but thank you for the kind of work that you have done in the past, and, the kind of work that, you are doing, Ricky. It is such a big honor, for the country to have a musician like you. And I would like to personally know, what are your, observations or, perception for Bollywood music? And is there anyone who you really, admire in Bollywood?
I even though I don't make Bollywood music, and I'll probably not make it, but I love Bollywood music and I listen to a lot of Bollywood music.
Oh.
And I'm a fan of all the musicians that everybody else is a fan of. Of course, A.R. Rahman, I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm very fortunate to call him my friend too. And then of course, Vishal Shekhar, love their music.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Then I'm a fan of Arijit Singh, like the whole country is. I saw his recent online concert that he had done. It was stunning. You know, that guy is just so talented, you know, and what a voice. And a fan of Sonu Nigam, fan of Ankur Tiwari. I love his music. Very often when I open up my Instagram and I see that he's doing an Instagram live, that's it. I know that for the next 1 hour, I'm going to be sitting and, like, you know, listening to him sing and, you know, and perform his compositions. So I'm a fan of a lot of musicians who everybody else is a fan of. I'm like a generic Bollywood music listener.
That's just so, you know, surprising to know, and really happy to know about it. Wow, lovely. Ricky, thank you so much, you know, for such a lovely evening. I must say that, you know, I am totally honored to have had you on the show. And all the very best for Divine Tides listeners and viewers. I urge you guys to, you know, give all your love and support to such an incredible album, you know, by Ricky Cage and Stewart Copeland. So, wow, lovely. Thank you so much, Ricky, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Eva.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you so much. For me, it was a totally different vibe and an experience talking to someone like Ricky Cage, listener. His broad, open-minded vision, perception, and approach towards music is inspiring. His student-like excitement to learn and imbibe, his efforts to make his music meaningful and to be able to bring some value, and at the same time, not belittling music or art that's just for entertainment or aesthetic purpose, you know. Ricky's work as a musician and as an environmentalist is worthy of every award, and we at Nanaksam Soundcast are lucky and proud to have had him on the show. Thank you so much for being with me today, listener. So guys, share with me your experience of listening to this podcast. Write to me at eva.bhatt@ninexmedia.in. You can connect with me on Instagram at evabhattpodcast. Rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast on Epilogue Media, the website, so that you don't miss any episode. You can also enjoy the videos of our previous episodes on the official YouTube channel of Nanaksam and Spotlamp. Just search Nanaksam Soundcast on YouTube. I will talk to you guys next Wednesday with a fresh episode. This is me, Eva, signing off for now. You were listening to Nanaksam Soundcast on Epilogue Media. Hey listener, did you check out Nanaksam Song Secret? A perfect podcast for music lovers, jahan host Shefali Juneja baat karti hain aapke favorite artists ke saath unke kuch secrets jaanne. Wo secrets kya hain? For that, you will have to listen to this cool podcast, Nanaksam Song Secret.